Bridgebank helps breakthrough ideas actually break through and remains dedicated to providing financial solutions to the risk takers, the game changers, and the disruptors. Bridgebank, a division of Western Alliance Bank. Bridgebank, be bold, venture wisely.
Hey, it's Avery Trufelman, host of Articles of Interest. And I've got to say, I've been a fan of KQED ever since I was a little kid and I would come out to San Francisco to visit my grandma. It was just what we'd always turn on every time we got in the car, every time we were making dinner and turning on the radio. It was always KQED. And then over the years, I've become a massive fan of KQED podcasts because this is local reporting at its best. These are answers to questions you've always wanted to know, interviews with exciting, unusual voices, necessary journalism, all told with love and care and artistry. And did you know that a majority of KQED's funding actually comes from members? It's just people like you and me supporting the programs they love, while also getting access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. If you want to sign up and be a part of this amazing community, visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to become a member today. That's podcasts with an S. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support.
From KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. California and the Biden administration are looking to make access to electric vehicles and green transportation more equitable. LA Times reporter Evan Helper says they can look no further than Huron, a small Central Valley city with a program that just might make it the greenest migrant farmer community in the country. And joining me now is LA Times national reporter Evan Helper. Thanks so much for joining us, Evan.
Hey, Mina. Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about Huron for those of us who haven't been there before.
So this is kind of an isolated community in the Central Valley with a population of about 7,000 people. It's mostly migrant farm workers. The median household income is $25,000 per household. Mm. And, you know, it's hard to get anywhere from there by public transportation. The mayor tells a story of when he was a kid and had a relative in the hospital in Fresno, you know, which is about 50 miles away, and it took more than 3 hours and something like 18 stops. So this is a place that, you know, we called it in the story, it's one of the most fertile places, you know, in the country, but it's a transportation desert.
Wow, incredible. So to go about 50 miles or so, it takes 3 hours by bus. Talk a little bit about how that reality enabled a program to take hold that would allow people to have more transportation options.
So you have a mayor there, his name is Ray Leon, who was really interested in climate change and in sort of how can he leverage all these grants that have become available through the state's climate law for his community. And he started looking at what he called a informal Rayatero program. You know, this is something that's been around these farm worker communities for a long time. It's kind of like ride sharing. It's like, you know, he calls it Uber, you know, decades before Uber existed, where people who needed to get to their jobs, you know, would get rides from other people. And, you know, it's a Spanglish term, Rayatero, you'd get a ride. The ride is the rate. And he thought, you know, how can we use the availability of, you know, electric car technology to create kind of formalize the Rayatero program? And what he did was he got all of these grants from from funds that basically come from polluters that have to pay in under the state's climate law for the right to pollute or to put greenhouse gases in the air, and that creates money for some of these innovative programs. And he tapped into that and was able to get 9 electric vehicles in Huron. He's getting 3 Teslas are going to be on the way. And he has some community members who are the drivers, and the program works free of charge. And there's 30 charging stations in this small community. And when people need a lift, you know, they call the Green Rayatero program and they give them lifts. When we were there on a Tuesday morning, you know, they were taking people to medical appointments in Visalia. You know, they were going to Coalinga, which is about 20 minutes away. You know, occasionally they'll give people rides to Fresno, but yeah, it's run by this community. It's kind of become the backbone of the town, this Green Rayateros program that the mayor created.
Yes, I was struck by all the different reasons that people use the program, but it was really, quite moving to see that for so many, it really is about getting just needed healthcare. Things that can range from dialysis appointments to chemotherapy appointments, and often elderly people as well who need to try to get to doctors in Fresno or Hanford, and fairly frequently too. I mean, we're talking about, you know, these are really important things they need to be able to get to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we hear so often that, you know, particularly in with priority populations, that access to a car or access to transportation is one of the biggest challenges. So when you don't have access to reliable transportation, everything else, of course, starts, you know, falling apart. And you can't get to your job, you can't get to medical appointments, you can't get to important things that you need to, you know, to just sort of live a productive life. And in this case, what we, you know, we're talking about a lot of people who just can't afford their own cars. And so the community's figured out this way to share these cars and get people where they need to be. And it sort of is, what's interesting about this also is, you know, there's a lot of inequity in the way this transition toward electric vehicles is happening. I mean, you know, most of the charging stations are in the zip codes of the wealthiest people. You know, the subsidies are often to go toward people who can only afford to buy a car. You can't tap into the state or federal help for, you know, electric vehicle subsidies unless you're actually buying a car. In this case, they, you know, they flipped that whole narrative. They found a way to take this electric vehicle technology, take the subsidies, and make it work for this community.
And the Huron mayor that you've been referencing is on the line now. Ray Leon joins us. Hi, Ray. Hi, Ray, are you there? Oop, I think I just learned we got disconnected right when I went to him. But you were getting at something that I was just about to ask him about, which is why you think it worked, why this program was able to sort of turn that old model of really focusing on the wealthiest communities and the people who can afford these kinds of vehicles for subsidies, why it was able to accomplish that. Because I know you spoke with Alvaro Sanchez of the Oakland-based Greenlighting Institute, who basically said that this program has revolutionized the way that we should think about planning for transportation and deploying transportation. How?
Yeah, that's a really important point. And why this program works so well was because of the mayor, and because this was a local grassroots initiative. You know, they figured out a way to take this money. What did the community need? How could they make this work? So often in transportation planning, what happens is, you know, there's sort of a bureaucracy, there's the state, you know, there's regional transportation agencies, and they have these programs and they're one size fits all. And, you know, it's complicated stuff. And they're like, this is the way we're doing it. And, you know, this is what we're doing for the community. In this case, you know, they just did all kinds of surveys. They really, you know, they had people involved at the local level who understood what the community needed and how it could work. And they went, you know, instead of from the top down, they made it work from the bottom up. They put a lot of work, a lot of, you know, a lot of time, a lot of effort into making that happen. But this is really something the community itself created.
And let me see if the mayor's back with us. Ray Leon, are you with us?
Yes. Good morning. I'm here.
Welcome to Forum. Thanks so much for coming on. And I don't know if you just heard that last comment, but I do wonder if you had any sense when you were developing this program that you were, quote, revolutionizing the way that we should think about planning for transportation and deploying transportation.
You know, I have a great honor in all revolutionaries. but I appreciate that notion, because I think we do gotta, you know, especially in a time as difficult as today. And it's not been easier even before the pandemic. You know, former communities have always been struggling. And the fact was that the intent wasn't to be a revolutionary. The intent was to bridge gaps. The intent was to provide a service to those who deserve it, that have been working hard, toiling in the soil, to provide America the food that we need to sustain our nation. And, yeah. You know, my parents are farm workers, my father, a Bracero farm worker from 57. And my mother was the right title for my mother, you know, after she battled cancer. And after that, you still got to keep on going to the doctor quite a bit. And I seen what the struggle was like. And, you know, I have memories from when I was really young, as Evan mentioned in the article, you know, traveling 3 hours, which is to get to Fresno, which is in the car, about 45 minutes away. In 3 hours, you could get to LA from here on. And the fact that the system just wasn't set up to do something that was innovative to provide the necessary service to who we now identify as essential workers. And we should have valued essential workers, farm workers, more than. And I think we're still not valuing farm workers to the necessary amount today. Hmm. But the Green Track Portals is something that came out of actually, you know, a combination of those experiences and the thought process of needing to provide equity and justice to my community, who I am a part of. And also because I seen the hybrids, the EV plugins coming through back in 2014 is when I wrote the first article talking about this idea. And during that time, I was communicating with a lot of my committee members, my leaders in Huron, who most of them turned out were raiteros themselves, drivers to families in Huron to get them to their appointments, you know. And so so when I approached them with the idea, they loved it and they said, let's do it. And so I moved forward and we were able to get the resources to get it started. You know, and I got to give a prop to Green Lightning Institute because early on they were very instrumental in helping us get the first investment to start this. Mm. But so, you know, we built it from the ground up.
Yeah.
What makes it special is that this program was born out of the community and not dropped onto the community as what usually happens.
Yeah.
You know, it came out of the community. It just added technology and some infrastructure to the idea of what the Raiteros was. We made it green and we're being pretty successful with it.
Ray Leon, mayor of the city of Huron. We're also talking with Evan Halper, a national reporter for the Los Angeles Times, about how Huron has become the setting for a big example for electric car use, an innovative example of electric car use. And if you have reactions to what you're hearing, as always, 866-733-6786 is the number. You can also post any thoughts or reactions on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, and you can email us forum@kqed.org. You are listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Sorry, Ray Leon, you had something you wanted to say?
Yes, Nina. I want to just clarify that while I am the mayor of the city of Huron, my hometown, where my father arrived in 1951 as an orphan from Michoacan, undocumented farm worker, I have started this program under the nonprofit, which I founded in 2008, called the LEAP Institute. So it's a program within a nonprofit. And just to clarify, make sure that people aren't thinking that it's something that we created under the city. That was the initial intent before I was mayor, inviting the city to work with me to do this. But it never happened. And so I just kept it in the nonprofit, and which is better like that. There's no conflict, you know. Anyhow.
Yeah. Thanks. That's where we're at. Thanks for the clarification. I am curious, Mayor Leon, what can the state or other entities do to support efforts like yours? Because it is supposed to be a big priority of the state and federal government.
Yeah, and you know, and farm workers are those that are least able to purchase a vehicle, even with all the incentives that are existent and the tax breaks. The tax break at the federal level is $7,500. A low-income family does not reach that amount of taxes owed, you know, that basically is not applicable. And what existing incentives is not sufficient. And I say that because in the beginning, I was talking about the need for before we could use the canoes, we need the water in the river. A metaphor in terms of we need the infrastructure for charging before we could have the electric vehicles.
Right.
So I was successful in getting 26 electric vehicle chargers level 2 in my city.
Oh, wow.
And then there's another 4 at the elementary school. So total, we have 30 electric vehicle chargers in the city, which makes the city in the nation with the most EV chargers per capita. So you could say that we're the greenest farm worker city in the country because of that. And the other thing is that now what I'm noticing is that we got all this infrastructure, but the vehicles aren't here. Why? Because farm workers do not earn the amount to be able to take up the cost that is remaining after the incentives kick in. We got to be more intentional. And I think we got to focus on those that are being able to provide us, you know, the most essential needs that we have as Americans, a.k.a. the farm workers. and help them green up, and then everybody else will follow, right? You know, in Huron, last I checked, there's a website, and it may have changed since, but there was five families that owned plug-in vehicles. That's a community of 7,600, right? And it should be more. It should be more. At the shop, I'm not counting the vehicles we got in our fleet. We got 9 vehicles. Hopefully, we're going to be bringing on board 3 more and then another 4 before the year is up. But you know, and thanks to General Motors for loaning us 4 boats, and Volkswagen for loaning us 1 ID4. But all this support is very, very good. Mm. And I think the investment should be in organizations like the LEAP Institute or programs like Green Reteros, even the expansion of Green Reteros. We're talking to Riverside County and Monterey County and some other community cities to reinterpret this program. But it's always about really finding out on the ground, ensuring that what they really need and want is what they get.
Yeah.
And so we don't just drop it on any community. That's not what you do. As an environmental justice leader for many years, you got to start where the people are, right? And so so that's, I mean, incentives got to be increased so families could be able to afford these vehicles, you know, and also, you know, supporting LEAP Institute, Green Reteros, to be able to expand where we can.
Well, Sue writes, thank you for this program on the mayor of a small town and the successful free electric transportation for people to get to doctor appointments. Please, more programs on solutions and how they did it. And this listener tweets, love that Ray has lifted our little town and is helping folks where it matters. Justice and equity for campesinos, for gente. I live in Berkeley, but I'm from Huron, Califas. Adelante, Ray.
That's Martin for sure.
Well, Evan Hopper, in your reporting, you have found that other places in urban areas, like in San Pedro, for example, are trying to implement these things. What have you found is really needed to make these things successful, to make them more widespread?
You know, it's remarkable how few programs like this there are, considering how far into this transition we're supposed to be. You know, there have been some academics have noted that moving, you know, making electric vehicles accessible to low-income populations in California is one of the most urgent things needed for the state to reach its climate goals. So what they're trying in San Pedro and in some other urban areas are these kind of car sharing programs where they don't drive you around, but you can actually... you know, there's a charging station that often it's a subsidized housing community where, you know, you go and you use an app and you borrow the car. And in San Pedro, you spend, you know, costs you like $3 an hour to use the car. It's an opportunity to get people who wouldn't otherwise have access to electric vehicles to sort of build the technology, see how it can work. And, you know, that was another community where there was also kind of an informal ride sharing system going on before. So when they were looking, you know, planners were looking at places that can be open to this kind of thing. They saw, okay, we're looking at sharing cars here. And here's a community where they're already doing some car sharing with, you know, gasoline cars. And, you know, talking to people there, it was another situation where they thought, yeah, I didn't think I'd be driving an electric car, but this is, you know, these are the kind of cars we're going to be driving in the future. This is an opportunity to do it. And I really like to be able to, you know, hop in this thing. There's a place to park it. And, you know, it works out for me and my family.
So it sounds like you're basically saying focus on the areas that need it most, grassroots with important champions like Ray, it sounds like.
Yeah, there needs to be, as Ray said before, you know, just dropping something onto a community. You know, we've seen time and again that doesn't work. But, you know, these are communities that have needs that, you know, these vehicles can fill those needs. And when the people who have the money take the time to understand what the communities need, work with the communities, and help them tailor the program around their needs, you know, that resistance that we worry about, a cultural resistance or an economic resistance to these vehicles, just goes away when people see, okay, these can actually really help us, you know, fit the needs of the community.
Well, Evan, thanks for bringing it to our attention. Evan Halper, national reporter for the Los Angeles Times. And Ray Leon, thank you for the Green Reteros. Ray, mayor of the city of Huron. Really appreciate having you both on today.
Thank you for the time, and thank you, Evan, for the coverage.
Thank you both.
And my thanks also to Susan Britton and Ariana Priel for producing today's segment. And of course, always to our listeners who share their thoughts and reactions. You've been listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, and the Heising-Simons Foundation.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.